Hello, and welcome to another episode of May the Power Protect You, the Power Rangers podcast, where we talk about anything and everything going on in the world, including all-star level cameos and rewatching particular episodes of a season that may or may not make you cry. I am one of your hosts, Kevin, and with me, as always, is...
Red's the perfect one, black is the brooding bad boy, green's the clown, and yellow, well, she's the girl. So who are you supposed to be? I'm Joel. I just wanted to say Tanaya's line. That's all.
Okay. Well, Joel, we're not alone this time. We actually have a very, very special guest host. One of my good Judies from Twitch. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hi, my name's Joscar, or Josh. I've been watching Power Rangers for a lot of years, so I'm excited to be here.
Yay!
Yes, yes, we're very excited to have you here with us today, Josh. Yeah, we're gonna have some fun stuff to talk about, including getting your perspective on the franchise, because whenever we bring a guest on, we always want to make sure that we know where they're coming from on their Power Ranger journey, because every journey is different.
Yep.
But before we get started, as always, we want to encourage our listeners to be a hero in their own way, and, you know, whether it is supporting Palestine and the continuous attacks on Palestinian people, or whether it's the continued attacks on reproductive rights, or supporting, you know, important movements like the Black Lives Matter movement, we encourage our listeners to find a way to be a hero in your own way. Obviously doing that in ways that are safe and good for you, whether that's going to protests, supporting streams that generate revenue for charities and foundations, or whatever it may be. We just encourage you to be a hero in your own way. So yep. Please take time to think about that and reflect on it, as always.
Yep.
But yes, we have Josh with us today, and we're going to be talking about a couple of episodes of our continued watch of Power Rangers RPM. There's a lot to talk about today, a lot of fun stuff. But like I said, we're going to start with our... you know, get to know Josh a little bit, because, you know, I know him from his lovely Twitch streams. If you have not had a chance to follow him yet, it's Joscar on Twitch. And, you know, go check it out. He plays some really fun games. But yeah, Josh, so let's go ahead and just get to know you a little bit more. This is your first time being a guest on our podcast, and we're happy to have you. So tell us what first got you into Power Rangers. Like, let's learn a little bit about that.
So I saw your tweet about a podcast, and I'm just kidding. So,
I wouldn't be surprised if someone does that.
That'd be funny, right? No, I was around 3 years old, and I was shopping with my dad at Sam's Club in the early 90s. And my dad picked up the Thunder Megazord combo pack for me there, because I loved Legos and stuff like that, and like Lincoln Logs and stuff. And he's like, "This is building toy adjacent." So from there, I basically was watching every episode that I could. Even in the summer, I'd be at my great aunt's house, and she'd just have it playing on her TV all day. So, like, that's when I started. Like, I was hooked.
Yeah. So that's so interesting, then, because I know for, like, me and Joel, I think we saw the show first, and then the toys happened.
Yes.
So your introduction was actually the toys.
Yeah. My dad was talking about how it'd be a really cool, like, you know, building, learning type thing. And I think he knew about the show already, but I started watching the show after I got the toys.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. So thinking of that, like, flashing back to young Josh, like, what was your favorite of the five Zords?
I'm curious. Since it was the Thunder Megazord, it would have been the Red Dragon one. I liked on the show how it was like, how it moved.
Yeah, that makes sense. Absolutely. That Die Ranger footage is so good.
So good.
Like, yeah. Yep. Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And yeah, I mean, season two, that was a good time to start on. So was it, when you started watching, if you remember, like, were Jason, Zach, and Trini still there? Or did you, like, hop on, like, after the power transfer? Like, I'm just curious.
I'm not actually sure, because, like, I would watch any Power Rangers episode that was on. So sometimes it was a season two episode.
Yeah.
Sometimes it was a season one episode. I would even, like, I had the toys for season two, but I would, like, build the Zord together while season one was playing. It didn't matter to me that it wasn't the Dino Megazord. I would just, like, grab the toy and, like, play with it. So
yeah,
I watched them all so out of order, too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so interesting. Yeah. That's cool. So do you still have that Thunder Megazord? Is it still...
I do not, unfortunately.
I get that.
That's okay.
I had to move across the country a couple times as an adult, so I couldn't take everything with me.
Mm-hmm. See, no, that's fair. That's fair.
That's a better excuse than I had. I just became a shitty teenager and was like, I don't need these anymore. And now, like, 20 years later, I'm like, no. We could have had those. Yeah.
Listen, it's okay. We all make things we do things we regret when we're teenagers.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. And I feel like everyone had that like phase of like, I'm too good for this or I'm too mature for this.
Yeah.
I mean, almost everybody. Josh, did you ever have that phase or were you like a lifer? Like,
I continuously watched Power Rangers throughout all of middle school and high school and as an adult. And I've only missed a couple seasons total, essentially.
Okay. Nice. Okay. Nice. So it's similar path to me, kind of. Yeah. Because I was the same way, so.
I guess I'm a fake fan because I took a break. Oh my gosh!
No, I mean, joking.
But you came back.
Every fan's journey is valid, yes. And what's important is that we share this common thread.
Exactly.
Like it's, you know, I think I think even with the fandom divisions that we have.
Oh, my God.
Dear listeners, as of the recording of this episode, it was actually the one-year anniversary of Once and Always recently. I was definitely seeing some hot takes on my social media, and I had to, like, step away because I was like, ooh, okay, we're not gonna engage.
Yeah, for sure.
But, yeah, no, I mean, I think that's still the beautiful thing about Power Rangers in particular is, you know, because, like, we all have shared hobbies. Like, yeah. I mean, for the three of us, we're also, you know, we're gamers, we like Drag Race. Like, there's all these things, but I feel like with Power Rangers in particular, there's just something so special about it in general that, like, I don't know. It's just, that's why I love the franchise so much. It's just, we have those bonds,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's cool. So, well, Josh, kind of moving on then, since you've only missed a couple seasons, but what would you say is we'll ask you for some of your favorites, but what was your favorite season? Or what is your favorite season, I guess?
So it's Power Rangers RPM, and it's because of the episode we'll be talking about today. Well, one of the episodes we'll be talking about.
Oh, that's exciting.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll be tea. I love that. I cannot wait to hear your experience with this one.
Okay.
Okay, so then who would you say is your favorite ranger?
And you can have multiple. You can have multiple. You don't.
Yeah, you can do multiple. It doesn't have to be one.
Let me just start listing them one by one. No, I'm just kidding. right now, it's actually Ollie from Dino Fury. I know that
that's a good choice.
I know that for some people they don't like him because he's mean, but that's why I like him, because he starts out mean and then he gets nicer. I feel like after Neo Saban era started, they just started flattening the characters' personalities as they went, and they became more and more one-dimensional. And all of Dino Fury felt like they had multiple dimensions to the character, but I felt like his had the most, because throughout the Dino Fury run, Ollie went from kind of mean but smart to a bit nicer, and so he wasn't like the stereotypical nerd character.
I think and the work that Kai does bring to the character is like, it's so fun, and I really appreciate, like, Ollie got to in the wake of Cosmic Fury being over with, like, Ollie really got to do a lot with his seasons.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's interesting, too, like, with the work they did in Dino Fury, we talked about, you know, Josh, about him going from kind of mean to kind of, like, nicer and kind of more friendlier to everyone. It's really fun to have in Cosmic Fury the twist that he becomes the villain in that one, and all of that meanness gets to come back out in a new kind of more toxic way, which is really exciting and really fun, because that, you know, that was kind of a thing they did last minute that wasn't actually part of the original plan for that. So that's really fun and cool.
Yeah, for sure. He got to live his Riku Kingdom Hearts fantasy in Cosmic Fury. That's all I kept thinking about that whole season, was like, this is Riku and Maleficent.
A little bit.
He did so good playing the villain, too. Like, it wasn't like, like, bad acting or anything. It was like great acting. And he broke the streak that they had, or the rule that they had, too, where basically a Power Ranger could only be evil for one episode. That was like a rule that had been in place recently. And so he got to break that too, which was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it's also that thing of like, so often with evil ranger plots, it's like, well, who's under the helmet? And it's like, no, this time you know them. You fought with them. They were your friend, and now they're not. And that's a really cool, like, knife twist to it. And, like, especially with the fact him and Amelia were dating, and, like, now he can be, like, kind of mean to her in a way that's different and kind of cruel and fun. I really loved it. Ollie is a great pick.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Any other honorable mentions on your favorite Rangers?
I didn't plan an honorable mention. I don't know. I like it's a lot of
okay. That's okay.
I like a lot of the different That's Power okay. Rangers. I know I like Tori a lot from Ninja Storm.
Yeah.
I love me some Sally Martin. She's fabulous.
I mean, also Tori's like one of the only Rangers to beat up Power Rangers unmorphed. So go her.
Yeah. No, I want her to come back so bad. She would be such a good like returning veteran for something. Like, I love her.
Yeah, that would be so good if they could get her to come back. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we've talked about the goody two-shoes, Josh, but who would you say is one of your favorite villains from Power Rangers, or multiple villains? Like, who's on your top tier?
So, Diva Tox is amazing. I love her. I was obsessed with the Turbo movie when I was a kid. And then I also put Capri and Mara as well from Ninja Storm. Yeah.
That's a good pick.
That is a good pick.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. No, I mean, like being queer Power Ranger fans, I think, isn't it so fun, like, how queer coded the show actually is? Like,
oh, I mean, Capri and Mara are like drag queens.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. No, and I love what they did with those characters so much because they had such a good journey in their season too.
Yeah, they did. They really did.
I didn't know that the actress, I forget which one, but for one of them ended up coming back for Dino Thunder. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Zero.
Caprice, right? Yes, it's Caprice actress.
Yeah. Yes. She does such a good job in Dino. Like, she, the contrast she does, like, they're similar characters, but she plays them so differently is just so fun.
And did they make the joke in the crossover? They have Capri and her character on Dino Thunder see each other, and they're like, oh my god, she's so pretty.
Yes. Yeah, and then they're like, but I'm prettier.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, and I believe that actress is married to Javi and Izzy's dad in Dino Fury, the actor that plays
Wait, really?
Yeah, in real life, they're married, yeah.
That is wild.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm surprised they didn't try to get her back for something for Dino Fury or Cosmic Fury.
I'm sure it would have been like hard to get her, or like contract weird, or she was just like, I'm good, I did the Power Ranger thing.
Yeah, and sometimes that's fine too. Yeah. So great choices. So obviously, you know, Power Rangers was a big factor in your life, just like all of us, but has that ever influenced your taste in like your gaming, your movies, TV selections, like, or has it affected it at all?
So I don't think it's affected it that much. I mean, I will check out some of the Sentai series or Kamen Rider series when they come out just to see if I like them. And I've watched a few of those series. I think Digimon and Pokemon had a bigger effect on me.
Okay. Yeah. Because
I watch a lot of anime now. And I think those were like my gateway animes.
That makes sense.
So I don't think Power Rangers had that much of an effect. But I still watch it, right? So it's like its own effect almost.
I would say there is like there are connections between Digimon and Power Rangers, especially in that like color coded hero team kind of thing. There's definitely like some lines that could be drawn from that. So I definitely like think there are connections there that once you watch one of those, you're like, if you assign them all a color and you give them all a certain trait and you say that person is that, it's like, yes, I'm here. Let's watch this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I feel like too, because I know so recently on Twitch, Josh has been streaming Cassette Beasts, and I feel like that's like a really good intersection of. I've not played it yet, but it's been on my like to get list eventually.
Yeah.
And watching you play has been a lot of fun because I know you really love that game. But I feel like that's such a nice intersection of like tokusatsu, monster collecting, and like vintage like 80s, 90s like imagery, right? Am I right in that impression?
It's my whole childhood, basically. Yeah, no, I mean, it feels very 80s and 90s. Instead of you like having like a Pokeball that your monster comes out of, you basically transform into them. So it's actually very Power Rangers coded and very like Digimon and Pokemon coded at the same time. And it feels like you're going into a Blockbuster. VHS tapes everywhere.
But yeah, no, Cassette Beast definitely looks like a lot of fun. Like, I was really excited when I saw you've been streaming it. So, like, I've been, like, you know me. I'll be in your chat sometimes. I'll lurk sometimes. Like, it's always fun to watch you play it, because I know that, you know, it's very, like, that intersection is there. But, so, you've told us about the first Power Ranger merchandise you got, which was the Thunder Megazord. So... And I know you collect stuff, and you on your streams, you have some of your collection, not just Power Rangers, but also Pokemon and Digimon in the background. But what would you say is your favorite piece of Ranger merchandise you've ever owned?
So one of my other favorite seasons of Power Rangers was Power Rangers Zeo. I think I just happened to be the perfect age range for it when it came out. And I wanted the Pyramidus Zord so bad. I wanted it so bad. Like, you don't even know. Like, it was, I had a need. And so at Christmas, I woke up and I walked into our living room where the Christmas tree was set up. And I was like looking around, and, you know, I was kind of sad because I didn't see Pyramidus, which I had asked Santa for. And then my parents like pointed to the tree, and they were like, go look behind the tree over there. And so then I walked over there, and there was Pyramidus, and I was so excited. I think I have a video of it somewhere. That was like the happiest moment of 5-year-old or 4-year-old me's life right there.
That's so sweet.
That toy was massive. I had Pyramidus. Yeah. I think it was huge.
It was like almost as tall as me.
Yeah. And didn't they have to, like, for the American release, didn't they have to, like, mold a warning in that was, like, don't catch your fingers in it or something?
Yeah, I mean, because it would slide really fast. Yeah. It was crazy. Yeah.
Don't stand on it.
Yeah. Because I didn't have, like, the, like, Zeo Megazord to go with it. I just had, I think I had, like, the Red Battlezord, and then I had Pyramidus. So, like, I could just, and there was, like, that gap in the back where it's like, well, this is where the other Zord should be.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's where you use the imagination, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
So. But, no, that's a good choice, too. I mean, because I think that was at the time, too. Wasn't that, like, the biggest Power Ranger merch that had come out, too, I think? Like, literally?
Like, largest?
Yeah.
It might have been.
There would have been, like, also was pretty large.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I had Serpentera also. Yeah. And I think Pyramidus was bigger, but Serpentera was pretty huge, too.
I'm jealous you had Serpentera. That's awesome. Yeah.
No, I'm jealous that you both had those, because my parents actually, I didn't get like a deluxe Megazord until In Space.
Oh,
like I they would always get me like the little, like, because they would have like the action figures, so I had like the Pyramidus action figure, like the 6-inch.
Yeah.
And then sometimes they would get me like the mid-sized Zords, but they never got me like the giant Zords until finally, I think it was the Delta Megazord. I think that was the one I got. That was my first deluxe Megazord. I'm jealous that you all got that, but that's awesome.
I'm a little jealous you got the In Space Megazords, because that's when I started falling off getting the Zords. It's like in Space, like, oh, the figures. So like, I'm jealous you had that one.
Lightspeed Rescue was around the time my parents stopped buying me Power Ranger stuff, because they were in that, you're getting older, you don't need this anymore, but I never listened. They tried the same thing with Nintendo. They, like, I remember for Christmas, I was asking, GameCube, you're getting me a GameCube, I don't care. And they were like, but what about the PlayStation? That's, you know, that's for teenagers. And I was like, no, I want the GameCube. So yeah, that's just the common theme of my parents always trying to be like, you need to grow up. And I'm just like, no.
Wow.
Oh, did they? Yeah. Yeah. My parents were like, and they actually made me give my Power Ranger toys away to my nephew. So like I lost a lot of Power Ranger toys, unfortunately.
My parents never like had the like, you have to stop. The only thing, and I know I've told this story before, is my dad was like, one time was like, you cannot get a Pink Ranger. And I was like, I want the Pink Ranger toy. And it was like a knockdown, drag out fight in the middle of Walmart between me and my dad. And I'm like, no. I want the pink one. Like, I'm getting the pink one, whether you like it or not. And I think it was the turbo, the like cart one with the Pink Ranger.
Oh, yeah. I love those turbo carts so much. Those were so cool.
But
oh my gosh. Well, speaking of racing themed toys and seasons, First off, Josh, thank you for sharing your experience of Power Rangers. It's actually, I love getting to hear this from when we have guest stars and from hearing it from you. Like, such good, you had great choices. So I love them. But we are going to continue on with our rewatch of RPM. And Josh actually did choose to be here for this episode because the one that he wanted is one of these episodes. So we are going to keep up with the Power Rangers RPM rewatch and join in on Power Rangers RPM Season 17, Episode 10. Ranger Blue, and the synopsis for this episode is, the newest Hatbot is out to cause a volcanic eruption inside the city of Corinth. Meanwhile, a malfunction with the Blue Ranger's bioenergy field attack causes him to be unable to morph. While waiting for Dr. K to come up with a solution, Flynn looks back on his life leading up to Vengix's attack and now how he became to be the Blue Ranger. This episode was written by Madeleine Paxson and directed by Charlie Haskell. Charlie Haskell, he's always been with Rangers, it feels like, especially in the last decade.
Yeah.
But let's go ahead and open the floor for discussion of this episode. So, Josh, what made you want to watch this episode with us? Why is it one of your favorites?
I love the questions at the beginning because
yes,
the series is so dark, but it still shows that it has humor and it doesn't take itself too seriously. Mm-hmm. They said the term big googly anime eyes on Power Rangers. I thought that was really funny. Pointing out the explosions behind the Power Rangers,
mm-hmm.
also great. Mm-hmm. And the morphing call being explained, like all of those together mm-hmm. were just things that people would pick at Power Rangers. Like, why do they have to make a morphing call? Why are there explosions? Why does that Zord have anime eyes? So for them to just like address it head on was really funny.
Mm-hmm. And I love having it be to Dr. K, who is just no-selling at all. She's just like, what are you talking about? They're not eyes.
Yeah.
They're ocular fields. Like,
you for your heads-up display.
Yes. Yeah. Like, why are y'all being weird about this? I just love her reaction.
Oh, yeah. No. And I think, too, like, I watched Goanger as it aired in 2008. And, of course, RPM was 2009.
Yeah.
So, like, I remember, like, howling at this because, like, I was seeing the Goanger and, like, it was just so well done because, like you said, Josh, like this is something that most fans will pick at and they'll tend to be like, well, I need an explanation. And like, I feel like the writers were like just having a lot of fun with this as well as the cast.
Yeah. And I don't know that this person, this writer, Madeleine Paxson, has ever written for Power Rangers. It's not a name I recognize.
No. So I think this is Madeline's first time.
So kind of interesting to come in on this one and get to kind of. That this feels like someone who's new to Power Rangers being like, well, why don't we just address it kind of thing?
Yeah. Well, and I think for those of you that, if you remember, like when they interviewed Eddie Guzelian for Power Rangers, like that was kind of his whole MO when he took over. That's because I remember reading an interview where he was like, he watched like the first season, like bits and pieces, and he was like questioning those things. He's like, why this? Why this? And so that's why he actually said in an interview, that's why Corinth is a domed city and it's the last city on Earth. Because he wanted to have a reason why Vengix kept attacking the same city over and over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, I get why. This is also, like, very of the era as well. This is, you know, we're coming off Buffy kind of thing. This is, like, everyone's become aware of the meta narratives you can start to do a show, so it makes sense why this happened in RPM and why mm-hmm. it happened in this era. I do love the fact that the questions at the beginning go set up what's going to happen later on in the episode. But it is not, as much as it gets cut out of the episode and kind of passed around online on why RPM is good, it is actually important to the episode, and the resolution of the episode is Flynn using the explosion that happens with his suit in an offensive manner.
Yeah.
And that's which my favorite part.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and also too, like, we just came out of the Kalish era, which is... You know, people meme about it a lot, and it's so. I feel so bad for Bruce Kalish because fans often blame him for a lot of things, including the excessive use of explosions. So I love that they kind of like poked fun at that element, and it's kind of ironic because it was never Bruce that was like, "We have to have explosions." It was always Koichi Sakamoto, which is really funny in retrospect because people kept blaming Bruce as the showrunner. But yeah, no, I think I loved that. Like, in particular, that scene later in the episode when like. Ari as Flynn like does the morph, like the little cheeky grin he has.
Yeah,
like, oh. I instant crush the second he did that. I was like, oh,
And I did have a question about that, like, that final morph with him. I'm like, is this really, like, I know we've had, like, probably morphs happen while fighting, but is this the first time a morph has been used as, like, an offensive attack where your morphing hurts the villain? Like, I can't think of another time that that springs to mind, at least in another season, where that's really happened. Like, maybe Overdrive is maybe one, because they're, like, they're sly. Yeah. That's the only one I could think that maybe might have had one, but other than that, I think this is the first time.
Did Dino Charge?
The only other one Dino Charge was also the trend of that, but of course Dino Charge was after RPM. True. So yeah,
this feels like the first time it's been like an actual attack that could hurt the villains when they morph.
Yeah, the only one I could think of that maybe it would hurt them would potentially be Jungle Fury, like if they summoned their animal spirit and like attacked them and then flew back to them and they morphed, but I don't remember that either. So yeah, I think this might be the first time that, like, yeah, because Overdrive had like the wheel spinning gimmick, and I know they use that sometimes, but like on a scale of this level, I think this was the first time.
So I want to jump in with the thing that I did not remember about this episode. And it was wild when it happened, the scene happened. So obviously a lot of this episode is us getting like Flynn's backstory, and we're getting a ton of flashbacks, which I really enjoy. I like the fact that we didn't have like his dad come in for some reason and then have to like unpack all of this in dialogue. We're actually just shown flashbacks to the Scottish community that is really close to Corinth for some reason. There's just a whole Scottish community that's really close to it for some reason. But you know, obviously, like, the big thing with Flynn is, like, you know, he kind of has like a hero. He wants to be a hero in some way. You know, he tries being a cop and isn't good at it. He tries being a firefighter and isn't good at it. And then he does like a Greenpeace thing, and there is a yikes depiction of native people in the background that I was like, whoa, where did this come from? And all of it is to set up a Braveheart reference. It was wild. Yeah. I did not remember this. I was like, whoa, 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 what is happening? Where did we get, how did we get here?
Yeah, I forgot all about that. I was like watching it and I was like, is that Braveheart? Like, what is happening here?
It was just like, why do we have air quotes native people on screen right now? This is a lot. Like Power Rangers is not great sometimes. Like, as PC as it is sometimes, its depictions of different cultures can be bad. But this was wild. I just, that when it happened in the episode, I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. But yeah, that just kind of took me out. Did y'all enjoy kind of like Flynn's flashbacks? Did y'all have any thoughts on those at all?
I love that he saved a goldfish.
Oh yeah, that's just in his jacket for like that whole scene. Oh god.
No, it definitely. And we talked about this before, and it's so funny because like in cast interviews, like Ari Boylan, who portrays Flynn, he like mentioned that he's auditioned multiple times and done, like, even for Flynn, I think he said he tried like multiple accents until like they were like, okay, Scottish is the good one. Like, I think he even tried doing like mime as one of his auditions.
My gosh.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I think like the fact that we got a Braveheart reference in Power Rangers, one, obviously like decades late, but also just in general, like, it was just one of those like surreal moments. But yeah, no, I really enjoyed seeing like the flashbacks of him like getting fired multiple times and like kind of showing that, like, you know, he has a good heart and he wants to do the best he can, but, you know, it's just always, it's never been enough. So I like that.
I saw it as him getting fired for doing too much almost in some ways.
Yeah.
Because they were like,
yeah,
don't go do the extra thing. Don't go the extra mile.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And his dad says it at the beginning, no good deed goes unpunished. It's kind of, there's that his dad has that lie, which is like, I was like, wow, that's kind of heavy for Power Rangers. Like, whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah. Especially when you pair it with the next episode we'll discuss. But I did love that they, like, so we do all the flashbacks, and then the, like, credit scene is, like, Flynn going back to his dad and seeing that his dad has, like, the, like, memory scrapbook of all the different newspaper cutouts the Blue Ranger, which I thought was really sweet. Also, they really don't have secret identities in this one at all.
No. Well, yeah, because they had, like, a clipping that was, like, the Blue Ranger speaks.
Yeah.
And, like, it was, like, an interview with Flynn.
Yeah, which was really sweet. I do want to say, I love the continued thing we've kind of noted in our rewatch so far, that they've had an Unmorph fight almost every episode. And it's really nice, because it's like, we definitely will get to season, like, in later, like, Neo Saban ones, they rarely fight unmorphed. It's usually immediately morphed. But I did love this whole sequence, too, because it's one of the first times the generals are actually out. And I'm kind of surprised they don't have them introduce themselves to the Rangers. I was going to say, it's like, you guys don't know who these are. You know Tenaya, but you don't know who the two guys are with her. And I thought there was a moment where, like, because, Scott has a moment where he's, like, saying, you know, oh, y'all are stronger. And I was like, come on, introduce yourselves. And they just never did.
It's so funny because I watched the Sentai. And in the Sentai episode, that was what happened. It was like the big reveal for them for the first time, where they saw all three of them together and they did their like roll call.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which is why they all three, but it was weird because they didn't use any of the fight footage from that. Like it didn't actually use like Crunch and Shifter fighting, which was weird.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, in the like New Zealand fight that they have here, I do love the fact they have like Tenaya rushing Ziggy while he's distracted in the fight. I thought it was so good. Also, Ziggy's suit actor in this fight is sweating. Like you can see his sweat through the suit. I was like, damn, it must have been a really hot day when they were filming this. But I really loved all of the fight scenes in this season. I think it's probably one of the more consistent ones in those. It's also toned down. It's not as much waifu as the Disney seasons. As much as people talk about explosions, I think the waifu is the other thing that was the big hallmark of the Disney seasons. But I really loved all those fights. And also, I mean, we get a lot in this episode of like one of Flynn's big thing, aside from like the desire to do good, the desire to help. He's like, he can't just sit back and watch other people in pain. And we get that, you know, with when they're escaping to Corinth, there's a woman who's like, her 5-year-old got left behind.
And I'm like, the year award.
I know you got on the bus and just said F your kid. I mean, I guess it was an extreme incident and like they probably forced her onto the bus without her kid, but it's still just like, I don't know, ma'am, there's something you could have done there to get your kid. That bus was not that packed.
Did you see those bus doors though? They chopped a whole like robot in half.
Yeah,
those are some powerful ass bus doors.
She had to get on the bus before she got chopped in half.
This is true. Okay. She probably saw that happen to another grinder. Was like, ooh, yeah, no, sorry, baby. We'll come back. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. We'll see.
Well, and I love the cut they did to like, because, you know, Power Rangers always does like, they try to tone down the violence. But like, I did enjoy like how they edited it. Like you had the cut and you heard like the robot body getting severed.
Well, and it's like, also, it's funny because that's all just to set up his introduction in the first episode where he threw it off the bus. It's all because that was there in that first episode. Yeah. So you have to reverse engineer. It's like, well, how did that robot body get on the bus then?
Well, and also, too, it's funny because, like, we get the word die, like, twice in this episode, which never really happens.
You don't hear that again until Once and Always, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Then they're real free within that one. They're like, die, die, die. We could say kill now.
And I mean, it also just shows like how, like, especially in this first half of the season, how little Disney actually was like paying attention.
I did also find it interesting that in the Zord fight in this one, we actually see a U.S. cockpit for the first time, and we see a bunch of them in the next episode. And I was like, the giveaway for them is like they do colored lights for the Rangers, and it's real heavy on the colored lights when it gets to the U.S. cockpit, because especially when they use the Sentai footage and they cut to that, it's like, ooh, these are two different shots. But I do like the fact that they at least tried to do it so they would have insert shots, because there are definitely seasons where they don't do that.
But yeah, overall, what do we think of this episode, like, as a whole?
It's my favorite, so. And the other, I mean, the other iconic line, which y'all kind of alluded to in the introduction, was the I'm Scottish line, too.
Yes.
And I think that's another line that lives rent-free in a lot of people's heads. It's just a great Power Rangers line. So a lot of the iconic lines are from this one episode.
I
feel bad because everyone always like references the I'm Scottish part, and I'm like, no, the Tenaya setup is what's great about it, I think.
Well,
and it's Tenaya reading them all the filth.
Yeah. Well, it's what Adelaide does really well, like, now that she is comfortable with the role. And you can tell, like, she's learned to make Tenaya, like, very snarky and, like, question everything. Like, that's what makes her such a good villain.
Part of me wonders if that isn't a little bit of Adelaide just burning through in herself. They're just like, I'm so annoyed to be here. She's like, I'm just gonna filter this into my character.
Yeah, so, but yeah, no, I think, yeah, it's a solid episode. I think it, again, like, these Ranger flashback episodes are a lot of fun because we get to see who they were before the suit. And yeah, I think it's definitely a good time, so.
Yeah.
But any final thoughts on Ranger Blue before we move on?
Nope, not here.
Yeah? All right. So that leads into our next episode and the last of the origin episodes of this arc. Season 17, Episode 11, Dr. K. While attempting to overcome a power problem with the Ranger's new Zord configuration, Dr. K is haunted by memories of her childhood being held at the Alphabet Soup think tank, and a terrible mistake for which she has tried to make up for. This episode was written by Matthew Negrete and directed by Charlie Haskell. So Charlie's 2 for 2 this episode. Wow. This episode.
Yeah, this episode paired with Ranger Blue is, like, kind of interesting, but we get to watch these two back-to-back.
Because
this is, I think, where we get, like, into the more serious things. We obviously get a ton of, like, Dr. K's backstory in this one. And I do think a lot of this episode would work if Olivia was not as good of an actress as she is. I think her kind of being able to be emotional in the way that she is, and kind of filtering that through that character is really well done. And I forgot that we get Jim and Gemma here. do think this is kind of the start of when I was like, oh, I think I may stop watching when this was originally airing. Because I know I saw this episode. I know I saw Jim and Gemma. And I think I didn't care for them, if I'm being honest. Look, it's a fine idea. But having watched Go-Onders and having seen what the Go-On wings are like, it's a big change.
That's fair.
I love the Go-On wings because they're essentially like Sailor Uranus and Sailor Neptune. They just show up and go, hey, you guys are bad at your job and we're gonna take over now, okay? So leave it to us. So it's a little bummer. It's like Jim and Jim are like, we're gonna come in and finish each other's sentences. We're gonna be really quirky and weird. It's like, oh no, what have we done? What have we done? But that's just me. I don't want to speak for the entire podcast and say that I don't like them, but...
I feel like other people felt like that at the time when it came out, too. I don't think that's, like, a uncommon take.
Yeah.
I think that the contrast that they have versus the rest of the cast can be jarring for some people because the rest of the cast is, like... You know, this is the end of the world. Everyone died except for our one town. And then you have Jim and Gemma. And it's just, like, very stark. Yeah. I remember when they came back later, in, like, a later season, it was, people were, like, now, like, well, Jim and Gemma are different now. And I'm just like, you can't have both. You can either have one or the other. Yeah. Which one do y'all want?
Yeah.
I do say I've softened on them over time. I do think I've gotten a little more, like, it's fine. It's cool. It is just a very, like... This feels like someone at Disney looked at this and went, no, you got to put someone silly in here. This is all too serious. We got to get a little weird. They were like, fine, the twins.
Sugar and spice.
No, not that. Not that.
No. See, I'll just be brave and say that I liked Jim and Gemma from the beginning, like in their introductions episode. Once I realized like what they were doing, I was like, because I think for me, I think it's, I like it so much because, you know, this sets up Alphabet Soup and, like, what happened. And it does... I do like how they contrast Dr. K. And I think that's why I like them so much, because I could see from the beginning what they were planning. Like, because we see her soften on them over the course of the episode, so...
Yeah.
I
do... Yeah, it is wildly funny when in the scene when they, like, give her the gift and she's like, you know I don't like you two, right? Like,
I'm just like, I don't care.
Well, and then by the end she's like, doesn't she say something like, I'm glad we're friends or something?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my heart.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's why I like them so much, is because, like, they give her a different dimension. And, like, Olivia does a really good job of, like, working and acting in response to both of them. But we also get to see, when they do eventually come back, like, how different she treats them compared to the other Rangers.
Yeah, and that's the thing, like, I because I've not really watched the later half of the season, yeah. I think once I have that piece, it's going to help. I have never gotten to those scenes, so I have not seen that. But I do want to take, one of the big things in this episode that I really do like, that's kind of a really cool aspect of RPM, is they really do hammer home the idea that Vengix is constantly leveling up, and that the Power Rangers are kind of behind in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a great narrative thing that, like, Power Rangers tries to do in some seasons, where they're like, oh, the villains have leveled up, and then it's like, yeah, but you destroy them with the same Zord you've always had. I do like it this, that, like, they're using it as a narrative reason for why the Rangers are going to get a new thing at the end of this episode. It's a really smart way to do this. It's a really cool way of using the footage as well. And I think I really like that concept being added on here in RPM.
Yeah, I agree. It makes me think of the contrast between, like, RPM and, like, Megaforce, when, like, they would randomly get upgrades for no reason. Like, they would try to give it context, but then they'd be like, no, you got this thing, here you go. Like, it feels earned. And I think the thing I love the most about this episode in particular is that I think in older Power Rangers seasons, it would have been, like, one of the Rangers would do something to unlock it, but instead it was Kay. Like, Dr. Kay was the one that made it possible.
Well, and also I like the fact that it is a reference to, like, the energy piece we've already seen before from Scott's episode. So we're getting those kind of, like, callbacks as well. Also, the scene between Tenaya 7 and Dr. K in the base is so good. I love that entire sequence.
How many lasers does she have? She just kept pulling out a new one.
I mean, she had one in the refrigerator when she was shooting Dylan. So, like, I think they're everywhere. I think she was like, look, I need guns in every corner of this place. They're like, why, Dr. K? Don't ask questions. Just put them everywhere.
She's prepared. Like, she knows what she's doing. And I think that was the thing I really enjoyed about rewatching this episode, because so when we watched Ranger Yellow last week, one of the things I caught on this rewatch was that, like, when they were in the base and, like, there was a fight going around, like, Dr. K was not phased. Like, she was literally walking around that battle scene, like, owning it. And then I realized, because one of the cruxes of this episode is that we find out that she tricked Tenaya into helping her get the duplicate of the energy booster. And I remember watching this and seeing her, like, visibly be scared. Like, she was showing a lot of fear to Tenaya. And then I realized, like, oh, she's acting.
Yeah,
like, it's so good. Going back in with that knowledge, like, I was like, oh, she's actually playing her right now. And, like, it was so much fun realizing that and seeing that, because you can kind of tell the way Olivia acts, she's acting like she's scared. So
and also, it's wild, like, not to jump to another aspect of this, but it's wild that this episode introduces a weird government think tank into Power Rangers lore. And we get, you know, obviously we get all Dr. K growing up in the system and kind of how sad that is, and kind of how they've been lying to her and telling her that she's allergic to the sun, kind of thing. And we get just, like, it's really kind of, it's weird in a way, but it's also really cool how they do it. And again, I think Olivia sells the emotional journey of those scenes, which is why they work and they hit so hard. Also, when she's trying to escape after the Vengix virus gets released, they pull guns out. There are guns in the show. And not, like, a blaster. A full-on handgun is in frame, pointed at someone. Which is crazy.
Well, and it was also the people that raised her, quote-unquote, that were going to kill her.
Which, like, shows how, like, ultimately disposable she was, which kind of is also sad and tragic in a way.
I think the delivery of, like, her being dragged away screaming, I just wanted to go outside.
Like, oh, God.
That made me cry. Like, it makes me cry every single time.
And again, I think that's, we can chalk that up to Olivia just being such a great actress. Because again, I don't know that there are many other Power Rangers actors you could swap into that role that would be able to carry this episode as well as she does.
No, I don't think. Yeah, she's a true talent, and I'm so glad that they scored her for this.
I do want to say, I did notice a slight error, and this has been pointed out on Ranger Wiki too. In the scene with Tenaya 7, when they're in the base, the inserting of the new energy piece into the like panel they have obviously had to have been shot on a different day, because every time they cut back to it after it's done, that piece is removed.
Oh no.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Every probably, time.
I wonder if they forgot to put it in there and that was why.
Oh, I'm betting they didn't rig the lighting on it, because that has a whole like lighting setup too. Like they probably just didn't have it rigged up to light, like light. And they were like, well, we'll do it a different day and we'll film that, like her putting it in on a different day. And then forgot it was in the background of shots later on in that yeah, scene.
Probably.
So yeah, I just, it was a funny little error that I was like, oh, look at that.
Yeah.
It's also, I do want to say the way Tenaya gets into the base is she hides in the Vindic spot that gets air quotes beaten and just goes. When they had just the monster suit just sitting there, I'm like, these are kind of creepy when they're just sitting there. Like, could you imagine walking through like a costume shop and that's just standing there and you're like, this is weird.
Well, and the framing of the shot of like it, of Tenaya like revealing herself was so well done too. Like just like the way Adelaide like slinked out from behind it.
Yeah.
Like the framing on that was, and the lighting was really, really well done.
She did a lip sync reveal in the middle of the base.
Something like that, yeah. And I think too, like I really appreciate, like, you know, we talk about how much Adelaide like banters with the Rangers. I definitely feel like her banter with Dr. K is always so fun.
Oh yeah. Well, it's one of the few people that like can make her sweat. Like she doesn't see the Rangers as a threat. She doesn't even see Vendix as a threat, really. But there's like a bit where just like Dr. K can make her get on her back foot in a really fun way.
Yeah.
Also, I love Tanaya's little venomous barbs about, like, you royally messed up, didn't you? I was like, oh, girl, don't bring the trauma up. That's not going to help you.
don't press that button.
Yeah.
No. And also, too, like, I want to say, just to jump back to the beginning of the episode a bit, I love the villain dynamics in this season so much. Like, for them to be robots, like, it's so fun seeing how they all interact with each other. Like, seeing Crunch and Shifter react to the reflection and not realize it's them, and then like Tenaya just like rolling her eyes at them.
Yeah, I know, she's just like, God, I work with idiots.
Yeah. so well done. And you know, I think, yeah, like I think that's really, it's so interesting, because like I whenever I think of this episode, I always forget that there's like a Megazord fight. Like I always think of Tenaya and Dr. K's like interactions in the flashbacks. Like I never remember like the monster.
I mean, if we're being real, the combined Zord is not great. It is and that's a go-under problem, too. It's just, they kind of all slap together, and it's like, oh, goody. This looks terrible.
Yeah, I mean, it's, well, and the problem is, like, it's meant to be, like, an intermediary between the next form. Like, the next form looks a little bit better. But yeah.
Yeah, it's just, look, it's never exciting when just one of the Zords becomes shoes for the Megazord.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say that. And that's a well we go to a lot with Power Rangers, where it's like, hey, that six Zord you got, it's going to become shoes.
Yeah.
I think
Zord shoes don't belong in the Corrin.
God, it's so crazy. But yeah, no, I do really love this episode. It's a really good one. I think it's great pairing between these two. I said it was weird. They're kind of a tone thing, but it's really great to get these kind of two characters' backstories in these.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other kind of interesting thing from this too is when she starts her flashback, she says, "Tell me, what's it like being stupid your whole life? Is it as wonderful as it seems?" And I'm just like, girl, you're reading them.
Yeah. Well, she's reading Ziggy. Yeah. So like,
And even then, I don't even think it's her like trying to be insulting. It's just her being so direct and
blunt.
That's
just her.
Like she, yeah, ooh, like
that's her being nice.
Well, and I think it's her having that genuine moment though of like not being. She understands so many complicated things that this one person who is so simple, she just doesn't understand. And I think that's what perplexes her about it. That's why she has to be so mean. She's just like, I don't get you. How can you be this dumb? Like, how do you go through life like this? Like, how is your life so simple? Like, because it's not for her.
And I think that's what, again, because we see Dr. K really evolve over the course of the show, and like it, I think that's what makes her so fun as a character.
Yeah, I mean, it's good when you have a character that can just be unfiltered. It's like, no, this can be the character where we just say what we want to say and then we don't hold back.
Exactly, yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I mean, this is, I know, like, with RPM, this is often considered one of, I think this is the episode that everyone always, like, references when they talk about the season, and for good reason. Like, I've said it before, and I'll say it again, this is high-class Power Rangers, like...
I think it's like them going for it is kind of the thing. It's like, again, I think you only get this in seasons where we think the show is never going to come back, because you can just go, well, we're do whatever we want to do. Come on, let's just go wild with it.
Yeah.
It's also, yeah. It always tickles me too in the scenes where we see like Dr. K working on the Power Ranger stuff, because there's just like Power Ranger boots in the background as set decoration.
Yeah.
I was just like, okay, yeah, sure. You have to build those?
Something that's interesting about this season for me is it played at 6:30 in the morning on TV. Yeah. Where I lived, they didn't have it on during mm-hmm. normal morning show hours for children. They made you wake up at like 6 or 6:30 to watch it, because I guess
that's
just
crazy.
Because I think the rumor was that they wanted to end Power Rangers already. Yeah. Maybe with Jungle Fury. Yeah. Yep. Or whatever, and then Bandai was like, psych, you can't do that. And so they're just like, fine, put it on at 6:30 in the morning on ABC or whatever, and good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were trying to kill it. Because Disney was done. Disney was like, we don't like this. I mean, Disney didn't want it to begin with.
Yeah. Well, and it's so interesting, too, because, like, the fallout of that is also stemming from, like, because this was when they got rid of the Jetix block, and, like, they transitioned Jetix into, like, Disney XD, and like they were trying to rebrand that channel. So, and yeah, like I know for y'all it aired at 6:30, and back home when I was where I was living, like it actually aired at 11:30.
Well, it was like 9:30 for me, I think, because I remember I would set the DVR because it was airing on like ABC Family for me. That's how I had to watch it.
So it's just interesting seeing how they did all this. So
yeah, and it's wild that this stuff is still, like, we're still seeing aspects of this, because this, you know, obviously, spoilers, if you've never watched Beast Morphers, this does come to play in Beast Morphers later on. All of this getting set up is a thing, you know, this all pays forward in different Power Ranger ways and different things over the years, so it's really fun to see kind of where this kind of kernel of it starts.
Yeah. All right, well, any other final thoughts about Dr. K?
Loved it. Great episodes.
All right. Well, thank you as always to our listeners for listening in another episode. We do appreciate it as always. And, you know, we do appreciate everybody taking their time to, you know, join us as we talk about Power Rangers and our hot takes. We also want to take a second, of course, to thank you, Josh. Thank you for joining us and for coming on. We always appreciate having guest hosts. And of course, know that that door is always open for you to come back if you'd like to. And if you are interested in guest hosting like Josh, just reach out to us. Reach out to us on our social medias. You can find us on Twitter and Blue Sky at May the Power Pod, or you can email us at maythepowerpod@gmail.com. Josh, this is your moment. The spotlight is on you. Where can people find you, and what do you have to plug?
I have my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Joscar. And then I'm also on Twitter at twitter.com/TheJoscar, because Joscar was already taken. And then I'm also on Blue Sky as well, under joscar.bsky.social. I had to look that up, because I was like, wait, what is the whole URL?
I've managed to memorize it. I can do it off the dome now. It took a minute, though.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It is.
And speaking of which, Joel, where can we find you?
You can find me on most social media at FestusPunk. And where can they find you, Kevin?
You can find me on Twitch at BridgeMT. You can find me... there's like a 3 on there usually. I don't remember. I don't have them memorized. It's just go to our Twitter or Blue Sky, and you'll find my socials there.
Yeah, if you type Bridge MT into things, he'll pull up, I promise you. So follow him on most social media and watch his streams as well. You can bounce between both Josh's and Kevin's.
Yeah. lurking, you can lurk, you can chat. We have a lot of fun, and sometimes we're in each other's streams too, so it's always a good time. But yes, Josh, thank you once again for joining us. We do appreciate it, and again, thank you to our listeners. And until next time,
may the power protect you.